So my name is Darwin Schweitzer. I'm a program manager in Redmond with Microsoft. Been at Microsoft since 2005. I mentioned earlier this, and I think a lot more of you got these pink pieces of paper for Azure accounts. I teach a course at the University of Washington in Seattle, which is a cloud analytics class, which spans Azure as well as Google Cloud Platform and AWS. And these passes are fantastic. So for my students, they get Microsoft provides Azure passes for them, as do the other vendors. But these are great ways to start learning about the cloud if you haven't already. And so if you got one of these, please take advantage of this, because it's super helpful. So we're going to talk today about big data ingestion and storage. So this space has changed a ton. I've been in the data space since 1993. I came out of graduate school and was fortunate enough to fall on top of a data warehouse of the day with some of the decision support tools of the day. And the cool part is data now is hotter than it ever has been in the last two decades. So data is definitely something that kids want to learn about, you know, people in the business want to learn about data, and especially IT people and developers that have been working with data for years are also very interested as well. I'm a teaching assistant for Java, for a Java class at a high school in where I live in Everett, Washington. And even kids that are in 11th, 12th grade are very interested in this space. So very, very cool. So let's get started. Also, I wasn't sure that I have an hour and 45 minutes, so I wish I had this class tomorrow when we're doing the hands-on this length of time. But what we'll try to do is go over a bunch of demos, because I know some of you may not be able to make it tomorrow anyway. But hopefully we'll show you something today. You'll go get your Azure pass, and you'll try some of this stuff out. And that's, you know, if you're unfortunately can't make it for the rest, but hopefully you can. So let's start in. If I push the right button. All right, so I talked about this a little bit sort of already, is that, you know, right now data is huge. So big data. I know a few years ago I had an argument with someone and they said this term big data is going to go away. It's going to, you know, it's just going to go away. Well, it hasn't gone away, and lots of people have been impacted by it. People that are, you know, don't know anything about, you know, information technology, like my mother, who's 71 years old, she knows what big data is because it's very popular and in the news. And sort of this perfect scenario of, you know, more data than we've ever had before, along with these cloud platforms like Microsoft Azure and Cortana Intelligence, as we talk about that, sits on top of. It's an umbrella over a bunch of services that run up on Azure. And then, of course, intelligence. So, you know, Cortana Intelligence used to be called Cortana Analytics. And so when you use the product that we talk about a little bit later, which I'm a program manager for, we call it Cortana Analytics Quick Starts. And then we actually have a meeting on the 25th, and then we'll decide whether we're going to continue to call it, maybe we'll call it Cortana Intelligence Quick Starts. And then we're also talking about whether we're going to make this tool available broadly outside of Microsoft as well, whether we open source it or whether we make it available in some other way. So I'm glad you're going to get a chance to play with it. Now, if there's issues with it, my email is up there. Send me an email if you're having problems, and I'll call the engineering team and we'll fix some stuff if we need to. All right. So, you know, so if you think of all that Azure, you know, cloud, big data, we've got the data lake, which we'll talk about today. Hopefully some of you will take the opportunity. I'll put my email up. If you send me, so log on to Azure, you'll get a subscription ID, which is this really long ID, which we'll look at. And you'll send that to me in an email. And what I'll do is I'll send it because Redmond wakes up, you know, while we're sleeping. And they're going to basically put everybody on a list so that you're in the preview for Azure Data Lake. So if you're interested in actually playing with the Azure Data Lake tool, please send me that information, and I'll go over that a little bit later. So, you know, over here on the far side, you've got business apps, custom apps, you know, sensors and devices, IoT, you know, all of the Internet of Things aspects are very big. We're going to simulate a couple of things with Twitter as well. How many of you use Twitter? Is Twitter big in here in Taiwan? So a little bit. Okay. So I've got a Twitter user that I'll give you later on as well, and maybe tomorrow when we do the demo, or even today, we'll see if you guys send some tweets to it. We'll see if it moves at all, and then we'll tweet some things that are, like Microsoft and stuff too. So you think of things, you know, and Twitter makes a great way to generate data, and then you can take that data and you can run it through event hubs and through Stream Analytics, and then land it over here in a product like Power BI, which we're going to talk about a lot more in the session tomorrow, and then also put it into automated systems and other things as well. And now David Robinson talked about this earlier today, so you guys have kind of already seen this. So this is sort of the pieces of Cortana Analytics, and we're going to talk a little bit about, because this talk is about ingestion. So how do you ingest data into the cloud? And it's also about storage. How do you store data in the cloud? And once it's stored, how do you process that data and actually do something with it so that you can generate some analytics from it? You can maybe do some machine learning on it, do some nice visualizations. So we'll really be focusing on sort of the data factory, which David gave a pretty decent demo on. We'll touch on it a little bit as well. I won't be talking about data catalog today. Event hubs, we'll look at a scenario where we're sending tweets to event hubs and passing it through Stream Analytics. We'll do a demo on the Azure Data Lake store, as well as the SQL Server Data Warehouse. So those will be our key demos for today, and also for the session tomorrow. But tomorrow, you guys get a chance to do them using the Cortana Analytics Quick Start product. Then we'll also talk about the Data Lake Analytics portion. We'll talk about HD Insight, which is Microsoft's Hadoop platform. That includes Hadoop, HBase, Spark, and also Storm. So those are all available as cluster types with HD Insight. That would be synonymous with Amazon has something called Elastic MapReduce, which is their Hadoop platform, and Google has a Hadoop platform as well. So all of the cloud vendors have some type of platform that's used for either batch or real-time processing of data. So we'll focus in on the things that are on Azure. And then also, I'm not going to talk about these pieces up here. I'm going to leave that to Ted and Seth to talk a little bit about that. I'm not going to talk a lot about machine learning either, because you have some other sessions talking about that. And we'll focus on the dashboard. So really what we try to do with the Cortana Analytics Quick Start product is do end-to-end products. So starting with data, ingesting it, storing it, doing some analysis with it, and then actually putting it into an end product like Power BI, so the business users can actually do something with it, or your data analysts. So let's talk, first of all, a little bit about information management. So the data factory, as I mentioned, David talked about it. So we look at, you know, these two things for ingesting data. Data factory is more batch oriented. So it's basically you're going to be like the ETL tools of old. How many people have used SQL Server Integration Services before? SSIS, okay. So Integration Services in SQL Server is what was known as an ETL tool, an extract, transform, and load tool. There's a lot more of what you would call ELT now, which is extract, load, and transform. And whether it be a Hadoop cluster or whether it be a SQL Server data warehouse, a lot more processing is happening in these tools as opposed to through some ETL tool now, although they really are very synonymous. But you can think of Data Factory as sort of batch-oriented, so on a regular basis, you're going to go and pull data into the system, whether it's coming from on-prem or whether it's coming from the cloud. Event hubs is more real-time, so you can basically capture real-time, whether they be tweets or whether they be information coming in from an Internet of Things device, maybe a electric meter on your home, so your electricity meter is constantly sending meter readings to the utility, as an example. Other things, and we're not going to spend much time on it today, but in the open source stack, on the Hadoop stack, Microsoft also supports Kafka as well. So Kafka and Storm or Kafka and Spark can be used for data ingestion as well. So those are things that are supported. One of the very cool things is HD Insight is the first party Microsoft application that runs on Linux. So basically, HD Insight runs on Windows Server, which it has for a while, and it also runs on Linux. I'll explain why as we talk about later. But Microsoft has definitely embraced Red Hat, Ubuntu, CentOS. So if you come from a background where you're using Linux platforms, if you want to SSH from your Mac out to a Linux platform, or if you want to use your Ubuntu desktop, that stuff is all available. So Microsoft's super friendly for to that market. So So basically, in this scenario, you've got, you know, you're ingesting data. So, but over here, you know, so you have all this different data coming in, whether it be from devices, from laptops, from, you know, databases or blob storage, and that data is being ingested. So this is sort of that scenario of a batch types processing. And in general, you're doing the same thing, like, and Ted's going to talk about the data science process a little bit later. And anybody who's been a data warehousing or business intelligence professional for years, you always have to, you know, ingest the data, extract it. You have to prepare it in some way, whether it be data wrangling, which is a term in data science, or whether it be, you know, ETL type transformation that you would typically have done with integration services. So you're going to ingest the data, you're going to prepare it in some way, transform it, and then publish it and make it available to the broader organization. So that publishing could be where something like the Azure SQL Data Warehouse sits, or also Hadoop and the Data Lake can be used to prepare, transform, and publish the data as well. And so this is kind of a very... And again, it doesn't matter if you're a person in the back office doing data processing for a large project, or whether you're a data analyst that's pulling data from a database or some data that's already been somewhat prepared, you're still going to have to go through these steps. You're going to have to take the data, merge it with other data, prepare it so you can build your visualization and tell the story that you want to tell. All right. So the next scenario would be this one of ingesting real time. So sort of think of data at rest would be sort of data that you're batching into a system. Now this is data in motion. So this is data that's, you know, constantly moving. As an example, Twitter, and we won't look at it today, but since and you guys in the data lake we actually look at it a little bit, since the U.S. Politics this year, as there's an election in November, I've been collecting tweets on Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and all the different people that are in the election, and just constantly collecting tweets. And then what I can do is actually process those tweets and look at what that looks like. What are people saying about each of the candidates and stuff like that. And so I do that in sort of a batch way with a Python script and then move it and use the data lake to process it. But you could also... In this scenario, and in one of the demos we look at, you could have all of your Twitter information. You know, there's about four different keys to set up that you have to use if you set up a Twitter application. You put those keys in, you put in some keywords, you hit go, and then Event Hubs and Stream Analytics keep bringing that data in. So it's real-time data. Now, Twitter is constantly moving, so it's like it never stops. So it's a really good thing to use to kind of play with some of this data. So in this case, you've got, you know, we'll say Twitter data sort of being synonymous with sensor device data, because it really is coming from a bunch of people with mobile devices. And then that going through Event Hub, and then kind of going down into Stream Analytics and then into Power BI, which is what we're going to look at. But Event Hubs can also send that and put that into storage. And David mentioned this as well. You may do some real-time reporting coming into Power BI, but then you're going to probably store some of that data in a database or in blob storage, and then process it with something like HD Insight or the Azure Data Lake as well. So there's a lot of different scenarios, and of course, using machine learning in this scenario is also something that's pretty interesting. So now we talked about sort of the ingestion pieces. So we've got, you know, data at rest, which is where you're going to use the Azure Data Factory. We've got data in motion, where you're going to be using event hubs and probably stream analytics, or something like Kafka, which runs on Hadoop, and you can use it, of course, with Spark or Storm in sort of real-time pipelines. And next, we're going to talk about the data stores themselves. Now, David also talked a little bit about this. Really, you could also put blob storage on here as well. So traditional blob storage is super popular as a place to land data. Data lake is new. So Microsoft, if you look at search, Google, of course, was quite a far ahead of Microsoft in search at one time. But Microsoft has actually got some pretty decent gains over time in search. Now, the reason for that is Microsoft has this product internally called Cosmos. So Cosmos is a MapReduce-like or a Hadoop-like product that was done internally, similar to the Hadoop, and a lot of the white papers that Hadoop was based on came from Google. So it's a proprietary, it was a proprietary internal-only product that was called Cosmos. That is being released to the public as the Azure Data Lake. So when you think about it, this storage, this Azure Data Lake storage, you can put exabyte-sized data onto there. You can lay down 1 petabyte and greater files. So this thing just scales way more than traditional blob store, which gets you up to about, I think, 500 gigabytes is what blob store runs at. But of course, you can put multiple blob store scenarios together. But really, this now allows you to ingest a massive amounts of data, whether you have a little bit of data and you want to use it for processing, or whether you have a bunch of data, it scales to what your data is going to be. And then lastly, the one here, SQL Data Warehouse. Does anybody here in Taiwan use what was called the APS appliance? So basically the PDW, so Parallel Data Warehouse Server. So there's a Microsoft acquired a company called Data Allegro and built a massively parallel processing database similar to a Teradata or a Netezza, IBM Netezza. And the MPP database was basically an appliance-based thing. And in the case of things like Teradata and Netezza, that's still where the majority of that market is. One of the beauties with SQL Data Warehouse, however, which makes it more similar to Amazon Redshift, is it's a cloud-based MPP. So basically, it's a massively scalable relational data warehouse, but you can actually run it in the cloud. You can stop it. You can pause it. You can scale it the way you need to. And so it gives you a lot more flexibility than sort of a standard on-premise appliance would. And so it allows you to start small and grow much larger as you need to do that. So also something that we'll be looking at both later today and tomorrow. So in these stores, so if you look at the Azure Data Lake store and some of the stuff that Ted and Seth will be talking about later, so whether you're using things like R, so R, which is a super popular machine learning and statistical language, which is open source. Microsoft acquired a company, Revolution Analytics, and R is actually now available on SQL Server 2016 as well. So there's an R server, which runs on Windows and Linux. There's a R services, which runs on SQL Server. And so on those ML things, as well as Python, and they're going to talk more about that in the ML session, those things are there. You also have, you know, Azure Data Lake Analytics can sit on top of Azure Data Lake Storage. HD Insight can, as well as other partner offerings. So for instance, Hortonworks, which is a distribution of Hadoop, can sit on top of the Azure Data Lake Store. Cloudera, another distribution, can also sit on top of the Azure Data Lake Store. And then, of course, we've got Spark, and we'll talk more about machine learning. But it really is this scenario that allows you to, as I mentioned, get to a something that Microsoft has had for years with the Cosmos product, which is having sort of as much data as you have, you can actually process that data. If you want to do it faster, you throw more compute at it. So you may have a scenario where you're processing. Normally, you use a certain amount of resources, and then at the end of the month, when you really have to get something done in a smaller window, you just give it more resources, and it actually can process that data even further because it throws more resource at it. The other piece here, and then we're going to get into a demo, is kind of talking about the Elastic Data Warehouse. So this is the SQL Azure Data Warehouse, and this idea of essentially having a data warehouse which is available in the cloud. You can actually there's something called Polybase. So Polybase is the ability to take the Azure SQL Data Warehouse and connect to an external table that's sitting on Hadoop. And so you can do that in the APS appliance today, and you can also do that in the cloud. So you could have a SQL Data Warehouse, and in fact, the demo that we look at today, it takes Azure Data Factory, takes data, moves it from a blob storage into your blob storage account, and then it actually uses Polybase to load that data as external tables into SQL Data Warehouse, and then you can essentially do your loading of data that way. So we'll look at that a little bit when we look at the Azure Data Factory for SQL Data Warehouse. In addition, and in the demo, you can actually be in the SQL Data Warehouse in the Azure portal, click on Visual Studio, and be in sort of like a management studio type environment. And if you're a DBA or a data person, you can go and actually query the resources through Visual Studio. And then also, there's a way to take Power BI and launch a very quick dashboard and reports against that data warehouse. And we'll look at that in the demo. Okay, so I'll just build this all out. So sort of some of the three big things for SQL Data Warehouse is this elastic scale and performance. So you could start small. This thing is going to scale more and more. You can do it in the cloud. You can do it with a couple clicks in the portal as opposed to appliance on-prem. My battery may be going dead. Appliance on-prem, you would have to buy another appliance. You would have to, it would be more challenging to actually upgrade this. Do you think my battery's gone? Also, by the cloud, or is it the battery going dead? Good? Okay, thank you. All right. So yeah, maybe I need to demo more and talk less because ran the machine out of battery. So we'll get to the demo next, but basically powered in the cloud, we've talked about those advantages, and then also this sort of market-leading price and performance, being able to pause the service when you're not using it, being able to scale the service appropriately, maybe same thing. End of the year, you've got 2,000 people querying the system, you need more resource. The rest of the year, maybe it's 200, 500 people querying the system, you need less resource. Maybe you have some people that are doing very complex queries, you could add more resource and have those queries come back in an acceptable amount of time, where if they were running more slowly, people would get bored and sort of stop using the system type of thing. So, all right. So this slide, and David showed this briefly as well. This is sort of this idea of, an end-to-end. So when we look at CACs, you've got, say, sensor data or Twitter data over on the far left. We're ingesting that into event hubs. That's coming down through Stream Analytics and pushing it into blob storage. Once it's in blob storage, we could break it up into various folder structures that Hadoop could use, and then you could basically have a Hadoop cluster analyzing that data that was ingested in real time into blob storage. Also, Event Hubs can pass that data through Stream Analytics directly into Power BI, which we'll look at in a demo, and you can actually have interactive moving demo or moving dashboards. As tweets are coming in, you'll be able to see those. You can also take machine learning. So when Ted and Seth talk about machine learning, Azure machine learning, you can take that and actually have a machine learning algorithm look at the data as it's coming through Stream Analytics and actually make predictions in real time as it's going through the system. From here, too, you can see we could use something like the Data Factory to load data into SQL Data Warehouse in a batch manner. And of course, this data could be going to Power BI and could be used in Cortana, both Cortana on Windows 10 and also Cortana running on the phone. And you could say, you could actually look for, you know, show me the sales numbers by quarter, and you'll get a report that comes in on, based on your talking to your device or to your laptop. All right, demo time. And how are we doing time-wise, too? We've got, okay, we're going good. So let's switch over. And let's look at, so one of the things we have here, so we're starting with the SQL Data Warehouse. One of the things that we have with Cortana and a Quick Start is when you deploy infrastructure into Azure with what are known as Azure Resource Management or Resource Manager templates. And so these are our templates, and what we do is we put multiple services into an ARM template, and so sort of, you know, create a storage account, create a database, and this stuff basically gets done by the pattern. So you choose a pattern, and it deploys all the resources that you need for that pattern, and then you have this end-to-end solution. At the beginning and the end, there's some markdown, so it's all very open standards. ARM is based on JSON, so you're creating a JSON document, so if you're a Mac user and you want to use Text Wrangler, or if you want to use Notepad++, or VS Code, whatever you want to use across Linux, Windows, and the Mac, if you can create JSON, if you can create Markdown files, and you can create XML, then essentially those are the things that go in to creating a Cortana Analytics Quick Start pattern. We also plan in the future, and hopefully you guys will get a chance to see it, authoring. So you will be able to go into one of these patterns, click on a clone button, and it'll actually clone that stuff down, and now you can make changes to it and then deploy it as your own pattern. And then if you want to share that with the larger community, publish it out, and it would end up in the main CAX gallery as well. And so if you are interested in that, send me an email, and hopefully as this product becomes more accessible to the outside, you guys will be able to play with that. So first thing you can see here is when it runs, you can click on this, and it actually takes you to the resource group inside of Azure Portal. So it takes you right to the resources that were deployed by the pattern. So we're going to see those here in a second. And in this case, it deployed a... there it is, an Azure Data Factory, which is moving the data, which we're going to look at next. It does a SQL Server V12 database and a SQL Azure Data Warehouse on top of that, as well as storage. And then it also deploys a web app and a website, because we actually use this through web jobs to basically do multi-steps. So we can run an ARM template and then do a web job that populates a database, and then run another ARM template that does something else with that. And so let's have a look. And again, this will be similar to what David showed you earlier. So we're going to go out and look at the Azure Data Factory. If we look at the diagram, here it is here. I'm going to do a right click and say open pipeline. So it's going to kind of open up. It's, sorry for it being very tiny. Actually, let's see if I remembered. I did. So I put Zoom on here, and I'm going to also make this a little bigger. So basically what this is doing, and I mentioned it earlier, is in order to make this demo work, we take data out of a shared blob data set that we have, and then we actually copy that with a copy activity and put it into another blob container, and then do some more things from that. And so you can actually see the slices here, how long it took. If we wanted to look at the code for this, give it a second, and then I'll zoom in on it. So this is essentially JSON, and David showed the wizard, which sort of does the copy wizard. It's going to build a lot of this stuff for you. But essentially what it's doing here is it says, you know, take this, me and the lights are in trouble again. So you got this Azure blob, you have a path to the blob, you're copying it, and then you're, the availability, the frequency, the interval, and the policy, all of that stuff is defined here in that JSON document, and that's what you do as you build these activities and these various pieces. So that's an example of what moves the data. So if you're interested in learning something about Azure Data Factory, there's some quick starts that are built into the portal, and then this SQL Data Warehouse pattern in Cortana like Quick Start also builds this pipeline for you. So that's the first step. Also wanted to also look at some of the other things in here. So let's look at storage first. So if we look at our blob storage and open it up, you're going to basically have there's a container inside of that, and then inside of that storage there's some New York City data, New York City taxi data that gets copied over. So here's data on fares for the price of the taxi rides, and then there's also data on tips, and so that data gets created, and then in the end as well, the pipeline actually moves the data and puts a copy back in these aggregates. And so these are aggregate tables that were created through the process and then lands, files back on Azure Blob Storage. So super common that you would ingest into Blob Storage, run a batch-based ADF pipeline that would then land more data inside of Blob Storage, and then maybe you would load it into a SQL data warehouse, a SQL database, or use it with a product like Hadoop. Other pieces here, we come in and we look at the data warehouse. Some of the things you can do in the data warehouse is you can actually open up from the portal inside of Visual Studio. Now, I would recommend, if you don't already, it's available on the Data Science Virtual Machine that we'll talk about, but Visual Studio 2015 Community Edition is absolutely free. So you get Community Edition, it's full-fledged Visual Studio, has all of the great tools that are in Visual Studio. Microsoft also, if you're application developers, app developers, Microsoft acquired Xarman, which is and it also supports Apache Cordova, which of course is a JavaScript-based cross-platform tool. So both Xarman and which is X-A-R-M-I-N, I believe. I may have spelled it a little bit wrong. And both those things can be used to generate applications that would run on Android, would run on iOS, and of course would run on Windows devices as well. So we opened up Visual Studio, and in a second here. Oops, I didn't want to open Word. Let's close this. With the resolution I've got. So here's Visual Studio down here. Now here's the database. So it's the SQL Server DW 0418 is what I called this. And so let's open this up. Let's also wait for Visual Studio to come back here. Make sure that my Zoom works. Okay, come on, Visual Studio. One of the things, now we can talk about it now, one of the advantages to using the Data Science Virtual Machine, so if you're staying for the hackathon, plan to come and run through some of the hands-on stuff tomorrow, is the Data Science Virtual Machine, which is a Windows VM virtual machine, has SQL Server on it, it has Power BI on it, it has Visual Studio, and it takes like 90 minutes to install Visual Studio. And so if you don't have 90 minutes that you want to use tonight to install Visual Studio, just take the 15 to 20 minutes it takes to start a virtual machine, and then you'll go on there and Visual Studio will be there for you to use tomorrow. So it's a great way to get access to the various tools you would use as a data scientist or a developer to do that work. So we got some various tables here. And then actually what I wanted to do is I wanted to open a file that I have. So I've got a query, which I will try to, actually it's pretty decent, I've got it blown up to 200. So basically it's a simple select query, not enough real estate, pull it over. So we're selecting the vendor ID, we're doing an aggregation of sum of the fare amount, putting an alias on that is calling it total fare from the New York taxi fare table, and then grouping it by vendor ID. So in this case, it's a pretty small amount of data, but one of the nice things with, I'm gonna go Azure. It's gonna have me re-enter my credentials. The other thing with demos like this, it's try to remember all your passwords. So I keep them in my wallet all the time. I gave a presentation at Microsoft and I did a dance for like 3 minutes trying to remember what my password was. So it's always good to keep them on a sticky note at some point. So now we're connected. We should be able to see, let's do a refresh. And because we're opening the script like this, it's prompting us. So there it is there. This is what we want to connect to. The password is inside of the markdown language, but it's capital P A dollar dollar W zero R D. And we click on connect. And let's see what I did wrong. Connecting a SQL Server data warehouse query, non-SQL Server. Okay, so what is it doing to me? Let's see if I got my capital P, I think is what I missed. A, dollar, dollar, W, zero, R, D. There we go. I think we're going to have a better, no, we're not. Okay, so let's leave that and actually come over here. We'll do it a different way. We'll copy this, and then we're going to come over here and say, let's do view the code, which is going to give me the create statement for that table, and then I'm just going to kind of borrow it, paste the other stuff in there, hit refresh, and we should get a better experience. So here on the bottom, if we zoom in, you can see that we got two vendor IDs, total fare 5,776 in the case of the CMT, and then the other vendor, much more total fare. But in general, this could have been with the Azure SQL Data Warehouse, this could have been, you know, a million records or hundreds of millions of records with very good performance because it's multiple machines and parallel processing. So it's going to be faster than your traditional SMP standard SQL Server. But it's all based on SQL Server, SQL Azure, runs in the cloud, and of course is this scalable, fast technology. The other piece I wanted to show outside of Visual Studio is I want to connect to Power BI. And we're going to go more into Power BI tomorrow, but I can. There's a wizard in here I can basically connect. It's going to have me log on to my, in this case, I'm going to use my Microsoft credentials for Power BI because I don't have, Power BI isn't supported on things like Outlook.com, Hotmail.com, Gmail. So you have to have a corporate email in order to get a Power BI, either a free account or a paid account. So let's do, Microsoft.com. So that's my email as well. So D-A-R-S-C-H, it's the first three letters of my first name and the first three letters of my last name at Microsoft.com. So that's the name that I'll have you, or the email I'll have you send later your subscription ID to so you can actually use some of the things tomorrow. I'm going to do sign on with my smart card. And another password to remember. So you guys know this isn't a smoke and mirrors demo. This is real. With all this, the other thing I did is I used the Outlook account that I have because with my Microsoft account, I get a lot of multi-factor authentication, which is fantastic for security, but I leave my phone off because I don't know how much it's going to cost me for texts based on my plan. And so anyway, so I used an account that doesn't have multi-factor authentication turned on. So now, just by going into the browser or into the Azure portal and clicking on the Power BI, it basically allows me to connect. It gives me the server name and the database name. It's going to ask me one more time for the username is actually username. We put that in there by default, so it's easy. And then it's that uppercase P. And click on sign in. And now what it's going to do is it's going to import that data into Power BI. And then, so that's been successful. I'm going to say go to dashboard. So now I have this Azure SQL Data Warehouse report. I have all of the access to all the tables that were there that we looked at when we were inside of Visual Studio. And then if I go into my New York City Fair and I pick, let's say, a similar thing, we'll do vendor ID and fair amount. And then what we'll do is we'll do a sum, and you can see you can do a sum. Let's zoom in here. You can do a sum, an average, a min, max, all of your different aggregators. So when we do the Twitter one later, if the tweets seem too high, remind me that I should switch to a count and not a sum in the case of those. And this is what the data looks like. So let's zoom in on this as well. So you can see the same data. Now, I was able to build that not knowing SQL just graphically in the browser. And one of the nice things about this as well is I can easily turn this into a visualization, which I can't do inside of Visual Studio. So if I go back in here and I say, let's take this and let's turn this into a bar chart. And my apologies with the resolution so low, it's kind of looks a little bit like a postage stamp here. So let's give it a second. It's a little bit small. It's also taking a lot longer than I wanted to. And shouldn't be. So there's that data. So let's let that churn away. And let's just go build another query. So let's take vendor ID. And maybe the tip amount. And let's hit refresh. Okay. Vendor ID, toll amount. Okay, so this is looking a little bit better. And then we're going to take this and turn it into a bar chart. Let's actually make this a little bit bigger so you guys can see it. So it's the two vendors and the toll amount. One of the nice things with this as well, you can actually copy these. So if you kind of like this one and then you just kind of want to change the amount, you can hit Control C to copy, and then just Control V to paste. And then what you can do is you can come in here and you can drop the toll amount and switch it to tip amount, and essentially you're getting essentially now different data in here. You can also do sorting. So for instance, if we make this bigger and then we wanted to sort this data, you can sort it by vendor ID or you can sort it by name. And this would probably be more effective as a bar instead of a column chart. So let's go to a bar chart. So you can see here, you could get the sort this way, or you could switch it around and say, let's sort by vendor ID. So it's going to support do the sorting alphabetically, and you're able to do that. And once you've built this report, then you can actually take this and you can pin it to a dashboard too. So let's say we wanted to take these things, and let's save this report. We'll call this SQL DW. Click on save. And now I could actually take these things, and I could pin them to a dashboard. And we're going to look at this when we do the streaming demo with Twitter. So new dashboard. We're going to call it SQL DW, so it goes at the top. And then we can take this one and we can pin it as well. Put it onto the same one. Click on pin. And now over here in dashboards, I have a new dashboard here with the yellow star beside it. I click on that, and there are those things that I created and put onto a dashboard. So now you could take this dashboard through the Power BI mobile app. You could make that available on Android or iOS or a Windows device, and people could get to these reports on their phone. And then when they click on this, they could actually click on the dashboard, which would take you to the report. And tomorrow we'll talk more about this, but you have dashboards, you have reports, and you have data sets. So you can see here's the Azure SQL Database data set. With data sets, you create reports, and with reports, you pin visualizations and create dashboards. Once you create those dashboards, you can also, to kind of show you an example of another one with maybe some more interesting stuff in it. Let's look at this anomaly detection. You know, take this, and then I can actually click on share, and I can actually share this within my organization. So I can't share this, like if I work for Microsoft, I can't share this with, I'm trying to remember the name of the travel company, Expedia. I couldn't share this report with somebody from Expedia because they would have to have a Microsoft.com ID and able to see this report so it is secure. But I can share this with anyone in the organization that has access to Power BI so they can see it as well. All right? So those are the things I wanted to show you in this particular scenario. Also, here's my Twitter ID. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but this idea of a data snowman, and I'll talk about that. But my Twitter is data snowman, all munged together. And so when we do, actually, maybe even now, if people use Twitter, what I'll do is we'll set up a Stream Analytics demo. And if you guys want to send a tweet to Data Snowman, we'll see if they actually register and come in. But just give it a second until I actually set this thing up as well. All right, so let's do that now. And time-wise, we got, what, another hour? Another 60 minutes, right? Till 3? Do I have 60 more minutes, one more hour? I think, right? I think so, because it's an hour and 45 minutes, so, and it's only been 45 minutes. Right? Okay, perfect. All right, because I was wondering if I, depending on what the time was left, I would not, either not do this demo or otherwise. So this is what we're going to do tomorrow. So if you're interested in this and you want to do this tomorrow, what you would do, just to kind of show you how this works, and let's start out with what I wanted you guys to do as homework tonight. So if you're coming tomorrow to my hands-on session and you want to use this for the hackathon, I want you guys to go home and basically deploy this. So you're going to log on to caqs.azure.net. You're going to actually go to the Data Science Virtual Machine. The first thing you're going to want to do, because this is a new account, is down here, you need to actually accept the terms so that you can programmatically launch a virtual machine. So if you click on this right above ingredients, there's configure programmatic deployment. This is going to take you to the Azure portal, and you're going to have to scroll down and say, yes, I want this new Azure account to be able to do these ARM deployments. And if it's the first time you've used your account, that's not going to be turned on. So we'll just give this a second so we can see what it looks like. So again, just so you remember, you're clicking on this link right here. It's also in the slides. But stop before you proceed. Click on this. And then this is what it looks like. So you're going to scroll to the bottom of the terms of use. And you can see here, you could until I covered it. So at the bottom, okay, it says there's your Azure Pass. It's going to give your subscription ID. That ID is what I need you to send me as well. So if you want to get access to the Azure Data Lake, I'm going to be sending this lady in Redmond potentially 100 Azure subscription IDs, and she's going to have to get those all ready for tomorrow. So please send this to me in my email if you're interested in doing the Data Lake one tomorrow. But basically, yours is probably going to say disabled. You're going to have to say enable, and then I think you save it. And once you save it, now you're going to be set to do programmatic deployment of the data science virtual machine. So next, I'm going to click on continue. We also have, and it's not available yet in Cortana Lake Quick Starts, we have a Linux virtual machine as well. So you can go into the Azure portal, and if you're a Linux person and you want to use, I think it's maybe CentOS, it's not Ubuntu, but there's like a lot of great data science tools available on Linux. There's some parity between the Windows and the Linux stack, and then there's some things you can do in Linux you can't do in Windows and vice versa as well. So I would recommend that. Now, this one I want to show you guys a slide so that we don't kind of collide on some stuff, and that is this one. And so ideally, let's just go full screen. Actually, I won't go full screen because if I put this into full screen mode, it's going to start rolling. I'm just going to make it a little bigger. Oh, perfect. Okay, so Ted was just saying we're sending out a share. These slides will be available, the ones that we're scrolling ahead of time. But what I'd like you guys to do is, right now in Cortana Quick Starts, to be honest, if you guys copied what I put in as a title, we'd collide. Everybody, a bunch of us would create a storage account with the same name. And we're working on that, and that'll be fixed, and you guys will be a good test of this scenario as well. So what I'm sort of promoting right now is when you go home and create this thing tonight, I'd like you to kind of follow this naming convention, which is use at the front of it DS for data science, and then your birth date. So I'm October 3rd, 1964, so I'm an old guy. So that's my birth date, so I want you guys to use your birth date because hopefully we don't have a bunch of people with the same birth date. Then what I want you to do is go out and pick a random alphabetic character between A and Z. So hopefully everybody doesn't pick A, so pick your favorite alpha character, maybe your spouse's or your significant other's middle name or first name, whatever that first one is. And then the last two digits, I want you to pick a number between zero, a couple of zeros, and 99. So maybe you pick 77 or 25. That should keep us from colliding, so everybody will have a unique name to their storage account, because we're going to go create these storage accounts in the same location, in the same data center. And storage accounts also have to be globally unique, meaning that if I create a storage account called Darwin's Tweets, you can't come along and use the storage account called Darwin's Tweets because I'm already using it. So so basically in my case, I want to take this. In your case, you're going to have your birth date and your favorite alpha and number between 0 and 99. And I'm going to copy that in as the project name. It's got a space in there. So if it's too long, it has to be 3 to 11 characters. If it's too long, or if you use uppercase characters, it's going to turn red and you'll have to read on the bottom. Then you're going to pick your Azure pass. You're going to pick a location. You can either, for the Azure Data Lake, if you plan to do the Data Lake demo, pick East US 2 because that's where Azure Data Lake is available now, only in the East US 2 location. If you want to create it in a location that's closer, you could pick Southeast Asia. And once you've essentially put in your project name, use your Azure account. If you have more than one Azure account with your account, which most of you won't unless you're using your own, you'll have multiple Azure subscriptions and you could pick the one that you wanted. And then from here, you just go and click on create. And then it's going to, except it gave me an operation fail there, so let's see if that was related to something else that was, because I think because I timed out. So let's try it again. And in this case, I'm going to pick a different number. I'm going to say 14. Azure Pass, let's do East US 2. And I click on create. And now it's going to actually provide you with some parameters that you need to put in for logging on to your Windows virtual machine. So you're going to need a username. I always use my name. You can use admin or whatever you want, a username. You need a password. And it has to be a pretty strong password. You have to give your machine a name, so you have to call it I call mine data. You can call this is your host name of your virtual machine. You can't use like underscores and certain characters that aren't allowed for host names on Windows machines. And then you got a choice of a whole bunch of different VM sizes. So if you want to spend your $100 really fast, go grab one of these G series. That'll burn your $100 in a hurry. I always go with the standard A4s, but if you want to read up about what those different specs are for a machine, because you think you're going to, you can always stop it as well. So you could build it on a big server, and as long as you stop the virtual machine, you don't have to pay for it anymore. And then you could start it because you need a lot of power to actually work again. So once you fill those things in, you click on next, it's going to go out and it's going to start saying deploy here on the top in a second. So let's just give it a second. You can see it's provisioning. And this virtual machine takes around 10 to 15 minutes to provision, because just like any other virtual machine. But as I said, if you don't have Visual Studio sitting on your machine or you're running on a Mac, this is a great way to, in 15 minutes, get Visual Studio and a bunch of other tools without having to go and install Visual Studio on your own from MSDN or whatever. So this is provisioning. Also, if you click on this resource group, you can always come back to where the provisioning is happening. But this is going to take you similar to the one that was already run for SQLite Data Warehouse. You can actually see the things as it gets provisioned. So you can see here it's created some attributes already. There should be a storage account as well. And if you click on this deployments and click on the deployment history, you can see all the various steps that are happening. So you can see it's run a couple of things successfully. Now it's running another thing. Also, if you get something, a status that says failed, maybe because you put a host name in with an underscore or you did something that caused Azure, the ARM deployment to fail, in this operations detail, it's going to say you failed on, and let's, as an example, let's go over here and let's look at one of the projects I did earlier. So you can see here it failed. And actually, so I don't forget, you see in here as well, I've got all these projects. Let's say that today and tomorrow you deploy like 7 projects, but you want to kind of keep some of your grant, some of your account. You don't want to spend it all up. If I wanted to delete all these things at the end of the day after I'm done with them, all I have to do is just, you know, put checkboxes in here, hit the delete garbage can, and boom, it deletes all of them, and then they're not running anymore. So it's a great way to build something fast, and it's also very easily to tear down multiple things as well. In this case, I don't want them to go away, but I want to show you guys this failed one. And when we click on this Azure Search, which uses Azure Search and DocumentDB, and we click on the resource group, I want to show you what it looks like when it fails. Because there may be a scenario that you find, and then by looking at the message, you can figure out what went wrong and make changes. So here we got deployments. Here's sort of a red button, and then you can basically see that it failed. And the reason that it failed is I basically have not subscribed to a document database. So I would have to go out and subscribe to the Microsoft DocumentDB, which is like MongoDB, in order for me to actually deploy this pattern. So if you get any failures, go look and see why it's failing, because maybe you need to join a particular preview or something so that it works. Okay? So that virtual machine is running. And this one we looked at, we can always go back to projects. And we can, of course, see the things that we just created. So there's the data science virtual machine. The status here says provisioning. So you can see what the name of the project is, whether it's ready or whether it's provisioned. And the next thing I want to do is I wanted to provision another one, because I want to do that Twitter example. And we're going to do this tomorrow. So if you scroll down to this stream analysis example and click on continue, what this is going to allow us to do is same dialog box. You're going to name a project, you're going to pick a location, and then you're going to kick it off. In this case, it's going to require some parameters for Twitter. Some other patterns, like the data lake pattern and the SQL data warehouse, we require no parameters. It just goes through and starts deploying. But in this case, let's see if I still have it in here. I'm going to use, in this case, instead of DS, I'm going to use AS for Azure Search. And we're going to go with that one. And we're going to use Azure Pass. I'm going to click on Create. And now, here are my keywords. So Azure, Skype, Xbox, Microsoft, Seattle, some words that generate some decent tweet volumes. And then I'm going to put in my data snowman. And now I need a few more things from Twitter. So for those of you who use Twitter, go to my desktop, go to my demo, go to my streaming, got my keywords. Basically, I need these things. So there's four keys that you have to get. I have about three different Twitter accounts that I use, this being one of them. So I'm going to basically come in. We're going to store these. Now, you're going to get your own. Don't, if you can even manage to grab mine, please don't use them. Go out and create your own. Otherwise, we'll all be battling for the same Twitter account, and it will not run. In fact, that reminded me of something. I got to copy before I kick this off. Let's do this. Finish up. Sorry for the slowness of this. Okay, and one more. So Twitter is really secret. There's secret and then secret, secret. And all right, so we'll copy that and put it in the last position. Now, I ran one of these earlier, so it's running already using these credentials. So the first thing I'm going to want to do before I run this is ideally is go and I can't remember what site I ran it on. Well, let's try it and see what happens. Actually, I know what I need to do. I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to go out to resource groups. So you can see that when we create projects, it's just creating these resource groups. I've got a existing streaming one, 419, which I ran today. It has all the streaming resources. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to turn the stream analytics job off so that I can reuse those credentials that I had. And so I'm going to actually do that in here. I'm going to click on stop and click on yes. And once I stop the previously run pattern, I'll be able to use those same Twitter credentials. I don't want to use them twice because Twitter's wants you to use a separate application for each thing that's running. So this is running and it says stop and stopping. So let's take a we'll take a chance here. We'll assume that that this will stop before the other one finishes running. So we're going to go here. I'm going to click on next, just like I did in the Data Science Virtual Machine. It's going to actually start provisioning this for me. And then all we need to do is after it provisions is we have to actually enable Stream Analytics connecting to Power BI and then start the Stream Analytics job, and then we'll be able to build a Power BI report with live moving data. So let's give this a second. It takes around, I think this one takes about 4 to 5 minutes to provision this streaming pattern. Now, we used to do this with a Visual Studio application, C-sharp application. Now the C-sharp application is an executable, which is running on a web job. So you just have to provide those credentials. You don't actually have to run this as a Visual Studio project. So it makes it easier to use than it used to be. All right. So let's go back, look at, not this deck, but the other one. So this is where we left off. And so we'll come back to that one and finish it off here in a second. From the beginning, from current slide. All right, and we are 45 minutes left, so we're doing good. All right, so the next thing we're going to talk about, and we're kind of, you know, doing this right now, is we've looked at the SQL Data Warehouse. So we looked at that pattern. We didn't build it from scratch, but we kind of went through the different things we could do. We're going to do the data lake next, both the data lake store and the data lake analytics. What we're doing right now is this streaming scenario. So think of the data over here in Twitter, coming through event hubs, going through a stream analytics job, and ending up over here inside of Power BI. That's really what we're doing, is that particular pattern. Also, now I want to talk about data lake. So what we'll do is we'll set this up, then we'll go back to streaming, and then we'll look at data lake. So Azure the data lake analytics can sit on top of a lot of different things. So you can actually, in the future, you'll be able to query Azure SQL Data Warehouse, a SQL database, so it's a federated query type of scenario. You'll be able to query data that's in the Azure Data Lake storage, so this is your more typical Hadoop-like processing of data that's sitting on in storage. You'll be able to query data that's sitting in standard blob stores, like the ones we're using in a lot of the demos today. And you'll also be able to query data that's in a SQL Server virtual machine, you know, running SQL 2016 and other things as well. So this, the nice thing about the Data Lake Analytics is, and I mentioned earlier, you can run HD Insight on top of Azure Data Lake storage. That gives you access to, you know, batch MapReduce, which probably is not, you know, Java-based MapReduce is probably not as popular as it once was. But of course, you can still run that where appropriate. Maybe you need to use user-defined functions in Java, and there's a reason that you want to actually do that in a Java MapReduce program. Of course, you can use UDFs running Hive, which is SQL-like language that sits on top of Hadoop as well. You can run Pig scripts, which are more data processing type scripts. Both Hive and Pig are abstractions over top of MapReduce and over top of Hadoop. And so essentially that gives you the ability to, you know, write stuff at a higher level language like a SQL language without having to go and write Java MapReduce. Also, so kind of on this side, these three things kind of sit in the Hadoop cluster. So if you do HD Insight and you deploy a Hadoop cluster, it would lie there. HBase is a NoSQL, you know, super fast database that runs on the Hadoop ecosystem. Streaming with Storm. So Storm is supported in Visual Studio. A lot of Storm is traditionally written in Java as well, so you can write it outside of Visual Studio and other programs. And then, of course, Spark is very hot right now because it's in-memory, either batch or streaming type analysis, and those are all available on HD Insight. Which is a great technology to use. One of the nice things with HD Insight as well is that whether you're using a Hadoop product at work, you know, on-prem, or you're using a cloud-based product, it's pretty transferable across those divides, and of course can work with a lot of the Microsoft tools that are available on Azure and also Power BI. I mentioned earlier what I think is pretty cool is this, you know, Ubuntu Linux is what HD Insight runs on when it runs as a Linux cluster. It also runs on Windows Server. I mentioned that HD Insight is a first-party service that runs on Linux. It was probably the first one. It also consumes a lot of resources, Azure resources are consumed, and so you've got, you know, people that are using either Linux or Windows-based clusters of Hadoop to do their processing, whether it be doing analysis of data that's coming in from the logs on their website, or whether it's streaming data that's coming in from Internet of Things devices, all kinds of possibilities. Wanted to bring this to your attention. Some announcements at Strata. If you ever get the opportunity to go to Strata, there's got to be one here in Asia as well, but because there's one in Europe, I think actually just a few weeks ago in Ireland, but they have one in San Jose, California in the spring, and then they have one in New York City in the fall, and they also do some global ones. But these are really data science type events, and so you see there's a lot of people at these events. And Joseph Soros, who's our corporate vice president, he actually made some announcements at Strata recently, a couple weeks ago, about the same week that Build was on. Basically, our server running on HD Insight, so you can actually provision what's known as HD Insight Premium, and it actually has an R server running. Now, this is a Linux-based HD Insight and a Linux-based R server. It also runs on Spark, so you can do Spark or you can do Hadoop. Also, he announced, and the next slide goes into it, a lot of different partners that are in the big data space that can sit on top of HD Insight. And then at the bottom, he made mention of Azure Data Catalog, and basically the public preview of that service. So this slide, I think, does this justice. These are some of the partners that sit on top of the Azure stack and the Hadoop stack. So you've got partners. I know some people that work for Datamere as an example. So this is a tool that actually uses Hadoop and the various aspects of the Hadoop stack to actually process and do data wrangling. Trifacta is another good example of a company. I've actually done some training on their product and I've used it in my UW class a little bit. You can see Revolution Analytics, which is a Microsoft company. Our server would, of course, be running on HD Insight on that announcement. You've got Power BI, you've got Hortonworks, Cloudera, even Tableau and Platfora and other partners that can basically use a lot of the services that run on Azure and Cortana Intelligence. All right, so let's go back now. Let's look at the streaming demo, and then we'll do the data lake demo. And then, so basically, you guys are getting a preview to what we're going to be doing tomorrow, but you guys are going to be logging into CAX and basically, sorry, Cortana Analytics Quick Start, that's what we call it for short. And so you'll be able to see this. So now you can see here the stream analysis example, it ran. It provisioned, you get this markdown that says, here's some instructions, this is what you need to do next. So what we tried to do with this was instead of giving people a six-page Word document or PDF on how they would do this, give them some markdown with some links so that they can actually do this demo without having to do a bunch of reading. I mentioned that we have to go out and we have to basically authenticate against, this happens sometimes, let's say sign out and I'm gonna sign right back in. All right, sign in, and it's going to do my data commoner. It's got to test me on all my passwords today, at least a couple of times. And I got to do that one more time once we get. So this is going to open up. Now, this is the old portal. So the portal we've been looking at earlier is the new, what's known as the Ibiza portal, which is the current portal. This is the, I guess, the legacy portal now. Unfortunately, one of the things you have to do, and I'm going to actually go and click on this one more time because it didn't take me to the right place because of that, is you have to, if you're authenticating a Power BI output to from Stream Analytics to Power BI, the only place you can do that is in the old portal. So currently the new portal doesn't have this capability. That will be changing. But with that link, it takes you out here, and basically what we need to do is this power, there's a stream output which is going to Blobstore, a summary output that's going to Blobstore. What we need to do is activate this. So let's call this one, we're gonna call it Twitter. And we'll put a Twitter on here too so we can find it just in case. And then what I need to do is I need to authenticate against Power BI. Now, you guys may not be able to do this because you may not have access to a corporate Power BI portal. But you'll be able to do everything but this. So I'm going to put in my Microsoft credentials. And it may ask me to use my smart card, or I would use my phone for authentication sometimes as well. So let's do the PIN. And I don't want that PIN, I want this one. And then I'm gonna go click on OK. So you guys didn't think I could do an hour and 45 minutes, but this is shorter than my UW class, it's 3 hours. So I'm going to put this, I'm going to put it in a particular workspace. I'm going to do this ADS demos workspace. And then what I need to do is I need to save this. And it's going to go out and kind of give us a little bit of a piece, and it's going to save. And eventually this bar on the bottom is going to go away. So if I do a control one and we kind of zoom in at the bottom, it's going to say that it's testing, it's completed. And then, actually it's not completed yet. There it goes, now it is. And now what I need to do is I need to go one step back so that I can actually start this. So we're going to start it. Now, all the time that web job has been out there running that that Twitter C# script on a web server, and it's going to be running. So all of that data is going to be streaming into Event Hub. And then as soon as this Stream Analytics job starts, we can go to Power BI and we can start building a report. And then we'll be able to take that report, pin the visualizations to a dashboard, and then look at the dashboard, and we should see some moving charts and some different things. So you can kind of see how this works in real time. So it takes a little long. Now, the reason that we have you do this manual step is right now Power BI does not have a way to do this authentication programmatically. So you have to do this manually. This is changing. Power BI will eventually have the capability where you would be able to program it in with an ARM template. And so you wouldn't have to do this manual step, and you could start the Stream Analytics job ahead of time. But right now, this is what we got. All right, so that's still going. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to log on to my Power BI. And click on sign in. And while that's signing in, we're going to go back over here. Oops, wrong one. Back over here. So it's still starting. So you can see here at the bottom, starting Stream Analytics. So as soon as that is done, we will go back to Power BI, and it should be done shortly. Now you can start and stop from the new portal, because remember I went in and I stopped the old one running so that it wouldn't conflict with this one, but you can't do that Power BI output connection. So this is all done. So now when we go over to Power BI, running on my machine, and we basically go to that workspace that I defined, which was the ADS demos. Down here, you can see right here, we have this Power BI dataset Twitter, okay? So now we can start building it, and we're going to have to, unfortunately, let's build this. It's really small. I'm going to do max create date, topic, tweet count. We're going to make sure that that's a count and not a sum. We're going to take this data, and we're going to turn that into a line chart. So you can see it a little bit better. We're going to blow that up. So this is a line chart. It shows, okay, Azure, Microsoft, Seattle, Skype, Unknown, and Xbox. If anybody's on Twitter and likes Twitter, send something to Data Snowman. Like send a tweet that has Data Snowman in it, and let's see if we can pick it up here as time goes on. We may not be able to, because this is using Twitter's streaming API, so it's getting a percentage of the tweets that are out there, and it may not end up. But if anybody is a Twitter buff, send me a tweet to Data Snowman, and then we'll be able to test it. So this is running. So I'm going to create that one. I'm going to create another one, which is kind of a donut chart. We're going to make sure that this is, and let me zoom in here so you guys can see this. So you can kind of see the charts created, and down here in the tweet count, I can actually change this from sum, which is kind of the default, to a count. And then I can take this and turn it into a donut chart. So if we zoom in on that, you can see those things. And of course, you can always click on this so you can see the donut chart a little bit better. Last thing I want to do is I want to create another one, which is just a sum of, or a count of all the different tweets. And we're going to just call it count. And then we're just going to put kind of a simple card interface so we can see the number of tweets. And we'll move these around, kind of make these smaller so it's bigger. And then all we need to do is save this. So we're going to call this one tweets. Save the report. So we took the data set, pulled fields from the live data set that's coming in from Stream Analytics, created some visualizations in the report, saved the report. And now, either basically what I'll do ahead of time is I'll go to dashboard and I'll create, you know, Twitter dashboard, which right now is just empty, so we got nothing on it. We go back to our tweets in our report, and we start pinning things to it. So we're going to pin this to a Twitter. We're going to pin this one to Twitter. And we're going to pin this third one to the Twitter dashboard. Now when we go to the Twitter dashboard, you will see shortly that, let's do this, get us a little bit more real estate. And somewhere here is my other item. You can see we have 1,009 tweets. So let's see if we can get it to move here. There's 100, see now it's 1,032. So basically, and we got nothing for Data Snowman. So Data Snowman, actually yeah, we do. So we got one for Data Snowman, look at that. So that was a live tweet. We click on it, that takes us back to the report. Let's go back to the dashboard. Okay, but you can see there that we do, so if I zoom in here as well, we have at least one person has sent a tweet and Twitter has picked that up. So think of the uses of this. I mean, Twitter as an example, this could be an IoT hub type application too. But this stuff's coming in real time. Say, you know, I'm doing an event like this and people could send tweets and you basically show how, you know, something can come from a device, instantly go through Event Hub, stream analytics, end up on Power BI in this live moving scenario. So that kind of gives you an idea of some of the capabilities. And if you're interested in that, definitely try that streaming analysis pattern, which is in Cortana Quick Starts. And we'll go through that and let you guys try that tomorrow if you're here. And again, you have an Azure subscription, and Cortana Quick Start will be available, I think, until Friday morning at I think about 8 o'clock in the morning, and then they're gonna put it back onto just Microsoft.com. So between now and the end of the hackathon, if you want to have a chance to use the tool, please go and try it. All right. So that's the that demo. So now let's see. We've got some more time, which is perfect. So now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the data warehouse, the data lake. And so the data lake that you want to use is this one here, not the data lake analytics, which is a draft. You want to use this basic data lake. So look for basic data lake. When you click on that, it opens up. Again, this is going to be very familiar whether you're deploying a data science virtual machine or any of these patterns. You're always going to, you know, come up with a project name. This one I'm going to call Data Lake 10/03/1964. And then I'm going to do Q87 or something. So that's kind of what you guys are going to use. Looks like I have one too many characters in here. There we go. I put an extra one in there. No. 10/03/1964 Q83 DL. What am I doing wrong that doesn't like? 1964. Oh, I don't do 1964. I do 64 for the year. I don't do the century pieces as well. So we're going to do that. Now, if you're using the data lake, and remember, this is the reason that you have to send me your subscription ID. So see this, it's actually right here as well. When you use Cortana Quick Starts, this is that ID that you need to send me. And when we go to this and look at it in the Azure portal, I'll show you where this is as well. But the data lake is only available in East US 2 and only available if you send me your subscription ID so I can get you on the preview. Otherwise, if you try to deploy this, it'll tell you that you don't have the proper resources to run this pattern and you won't be able to launch it. So I'm going to click on Create. This is one of those patterns that you don't have to provide anything else, just the name and the location's fixed at this point as well, and bam. Did that authentication at Power BI, it signed me on with my Microsoft credentials instead of my Outlook.com credentials. So now we should be fixing that. So here is the data lake, so you can see it's deployed three things. Here's a storage account. So this is the reason right here that I'm asking you guys to use that naming convention, you know, DL for data lake or AS for stream stream analysis or stream analytics or SA maybe. DL, my birthday, Q87 STG. Now if we all use the same name, we would all have a conflict with this storage account. Now, we'll work on this so that you guys could use a similar name, and we'll append some things to it that makes it unique. But right now, you guys kind of have to help me out and kind of follow a good naming convention so that we, you know, so that you don't use the same name as somebody over here, and then they fail, and you're good to go, that type of thing. So this is essentially there. If we click on the deployments, we can see that it's still running. Actually, it just finished. So it just finished. It's all good to go. And so if we go back to Cortana Analytic Quick Starts, here's the data. And so what we do is we give you access to a bunch of different tweets. So for instance, I pretty much have somebody, if you're a movie fan, there's movies in here for you from the Academy Awards. If you're a Super Bowl fan, so if you're an American football fan, we have some Super Bowl tweets in here. And then at the very bottom of this, we have some U.S. politics. So this would be if you're, and you may not be, but U.S. politics is especially interesting this year. But this will have tweets on Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the others that are running. So what you would need to do to make this all run is, let's first go look at the storage. So when we click on the storage, here we go again. Let's see if we get around this. All right. So this is going to give you a good list of the various. So this is the storage account. There's actually, I have an account called ADSENG, which is, I'm in a group called Algorithms and Data Science. So it's Algorithms and Data Science Engineering, Big Tweet Store. And basically what I do is I capture tweets on the data science virtual machine, and then I copy them into this store so that they can be used in this scenario. So that kind of shows you what the file structure coming from blob storage looks like. The next thing you're going to want to do is there's something called ADL copy. And so you'll click on this link, and it'll take you out to Azure Data Lake Copy. And what ADL copy allows you to do is from a command file, so from a command prompt, basically copy the files from Azure Blob Storage into the Data Lake storage, into the what's called the Data Explorer. So this is a way that you would use to run that. So basically, after you install this and you go into command prompt, it puts it under documents, and let's do cd doc, let's do cd ADL. So basically there's ADL copy, and then what you can do is back inside of Cortana Analytic Quick Start, you can basically take this. So if we wanted to do, let's say this one only takes 3 minutes to copy. So what you can do is you can grab all of this. This is basically the syntax that you have to use. We fill in everything for you, so you it's a good learning opportunity to learn how this all works. Copy that. Go into our Azure Data Lake, paste it, hit enter. Now it's going to prompt me to authenticate as well. So this is not just copy anywhere type of thing. I actually have to authenticate with my user to be able to use to move this. So I want to do this with my data commoner at outlook.com. Sorry for having to log on so many times, but it is the life of the cloud. So it's good for security. So we're doing good. I haven't forgot a password yet in an hour and a half, so that's good. So this is actually starting to copy. We'll hear in a second, or maybe. Let's go to datacommoner.outlook.com. So it should start here momentarily. So you can see how it says initializing copy. So it's starting to copy that file. Now, if we want to see what that file looks like, Again, going back over here, what you can do is you can say, click here to look at the status of your jobs. So this is going to open up, and it's in the Azure Data Lake. And again, I'm getting more prompts than I should be from that. You guys won't get this if you don't do that sign into Power BI. But we should be able to see that job running. So this is a status of those jobs. Okay, so that job is queued. So we can see we have a job that's queued to run and copy that data. I'm going to click on it. It's going to kind of give me a visualization of that copy. So you can see it's running, preparing, it's queuing, it's about to run it. It gives you a visualization here of the data moving. And so that data is starting to basically copy over. The next thing I'm going to do is we're going to do a little bit of cooking show. Ahead of time, I'd actually ran another pattern. So this is another pattern. And this is running on the data science virtual machine. So this is what you would get if you provision the data science virtual machine. You would get all of these things. You would get right here. There's Azure Storage Explorer. There's actually a newer version of Storage Explorer, but there's a version of SQL Server. Right now it's 2014 Express. Soon it will be 2016. I can't remember whether it's like a developer edition or a new edition is coming out. There is Revolution Analytics is on here. Power BI Desktop is on here. Zoomit's on here, so I could zoom in on things. It is on mine. Visual Studio, this is the big one. Visual Studio takes a long time to install. You don't have to install it. You just have to open it for the first time, which takes maybe 3 to 5 minutes, but it's better than 90 minutes to do the full install. Also, if we were to go click on this, you can kind of get a better idea as well. So it also has Git Bash on it as well. So if you're used to using Git and you want to, you know, source, have some version control and copy something down from GitHub, copy stuff up to GitHub, Git Bash is on here as well. So pretty much a lot of things you would want to use as a developer who wants to approach and become more of a data scientist. 10 minutes, thank you. Or as a, it's a tremendous learning opportunity. And if you're very very much a Linux person or a Mac person, and you want to go use the Linux virtual machine, we don't have it on Cortana Lake Quick Starts currently, but we will shortly. And you can also provision that through the portal. So just go out and search for the Microsoft Data Science Virtual Machine or the Linux Data Science Virtual Machine, and you'll be able to find it. All right. So once that file uploads, and I've done this already, what you would do is you would run these scripts. So this is a language. It used to be called Scope when it was inside of Cosmos. This is called USQL. So there's a U-SQL. T-SQL is in SQL Server. USQL, essentially what you're doing is, you know, some referencing some assemblies which are up on the server. So there's a Newtonsoft to do the JSON parsing. There's a Twitter processor that one of the guys on my team wrote. And then basically you're supplying the name of the file and the location of the file, the one that you just uploaded with ADL copy. And then it's going through and doing the processing and saying, I want these things from Twitter. And then when you're done at the end, put them into this account or into this store, into this output file called Super Bowl 50, which was the 50th Super Bowl small output. And that's the output of that. Now that's the stage one. When you run that, you're going to get something that looks like this. It's going to run. You get kind of a query preview. You can see the vertexes and all the information about that. If it's a more complex USQL query, you're going to see multiple icons and different data happening, aggregations, different stuff. And then what I wanted to do was run one of these. So this is one here. So all I do is I choose my, and I think I have this running. I do. I choose my correct data lake server. And then what I do is I just click on submit. I'm going to do a submit advanced. And because what I can do is I can increase the degree of parallelism. I've got this cranked up right now. I click on submit. And so now what it does is it takes that file that we took from Twitter, JSON file that's been parsed and landed as a tab separated format. It now takes that file and runs it further and does some detailed processing, which actually takes it and makes some smaller files. Then we can take those files and we can pull that data into Power BI and build a word cloud. We're not going to have time today because I got the 10-minute window, but come back tomorrow and we'll basically show you how you could use Power BI to take this data on the Super Bowl and then see all of the words that people are using in their tweets on Power BI. Also, Power BI, one of the nice things that probably some of you have used Microsoft technologies in the past, Excel and Power View and Power Query were based on Silverlight, so Silverlight was a requirement inside of Excel. Power BI Desktop is free, so if you go out to powerbi.com, you can download the Power BI Desktop for free. It basically uses D3, so it's JavaScript-based visualizations. And so as a developer, you can develop your own visualizations, and you can also use other custom visualizations like word clouds. And as I mentioned, we'll do that more in tomorrow's session. All right, so a few more minutes. This thing runs in under a minute. But again, the whole idea here, this is a very small file in this case. It's like, 26 MB, but this could be 26 terabytes, or this could be 260 gigabytes, and essentially we would be able to, so 45 seconds to process this, and then when we're all said and done, we can click on this. It's going to open up inside of Visual Studio, so you can kind of see a sample of what the data looks like. So just give it a second. So in this case, also a good story here. If I'm using the data science virtual machine and I'm running this on the data science virtual machine and my data is in the East US or in the Southeast Asia data center, this VM is also there. So the data never leaves the data center and it's super fast to do uploads and to do downloads and that type of thing. If I was to take this example, uploading stuff from even across the Microsoft network early in the morning before a lot of people are there, it may take 90 minutes for me to upload a file from my local machine through the regular network. If I'm running in that virtual machine in the cloud, it takes 7 minutes to do the same thing. So 7 minutes versus 90 minutes is very much worth my time to actually create a data science virtual machine and use it for that purpose. All right, so you can see here, if we zoom in, and then we'll finish off with some slides, you've got column one, which is the ID. You've got... column two, which is the user. You've got column one. Two is the actual tweet itself. And then you've got location and various things. Basically, all the stuff that was sitting in this script. So if we go back to, let's close this. And we'll look at this one. So basically, the detail output, so it's the ID, the screen name, the tweet, which we call text, the language, the user location, and the time zone. So basically, you processed just that and rolled this data down and brought that data back. All right? So that is a lot of demos. So let's finish off with a little bit of slides, sort of your homework for the night, if you so choose. And the one thing with, I'm sure you guys all feel this way, I teach in professional and continuing education. School never stops anymore. It doesn't matter if you're 50 or you're 5. It's a constant learning environment for sure. So this is the stuff that'll be in the download. So please, darsch@microsoft.com. So find that subscription ID in your Azure account that you're going into. Send me your name, your email, the one that's on this pink piece of paper. You don't have to send me your other email unless you want to. So in this case, this one would be MS1604, blah, blah, blah. And then the Azure subscription ID, I'm going to aggregate all of these, send them to a couple of people back in Redmond, and they're going to give you guys access so you can do that basic data lake and look at those U.S. political tweets if you wish. You guys have already seen Cortana Analytics Quick Starts, and you guys have access to that until, as I mentioned, Friday morning. It could be super helpful for running a pattern and using it for some of your development for your solution. This is the homework. So basically go out and launch the data science virtual machine. Remember to configure that programmatic deployment. Make sure that you enable that so this will work. Otherwise, you'll run it, it'll fail, and it'll tell you that you didn't have access to, you didn't turn that feature on. And then of course, log on with the user ID and password that you gave it. And if you want to be ahead of the game as well, go click on Visual Studio, take the 5 minutes for it to load up, and then you'll be ready to go tomorrow. And feel free to investigate all the pieces that are on there, which would be helpful if you have the time. Last mention on the naming convention. We'll have each one of these on separate slides tomorrow. But you know, in this case, data science for the data science virtual machine, your birth date, some alpha character between A and Z, and some number between 0 and 99. And that should keep our storage accounts from colliding. If you collide with somebody, change it and change the alpha or the... is there any twins in the house? If we have any twins, then make sure you talk to your twin and make sure that they're using a different ID than you are if they have the same birth date. You've already looked at, you know, basically putting in the project name and choosing a location and hitting create and any of the future parameters. We went over this today. I was going to go over this tomorrow, but we kind of covered this. So this is my, you know, data snowman, which I, you know, so data snowman is my Twitter. So we took those tweets, brought them into Stream Analytics, and then took them straight into Power BI, but at the same time, kind of landed some in blob storage, and we could have done other things like Hadoop on in there as well. Now, you guys should have access to those 5 slides that talk about a bunch of this and that as well. And my time's up, so let me finish off here. We'll talk more about the Power BI stuff tomorrow. I just want to end on this slide. Okay, so this is my data snowman. So to me, everybody on this thing is potentially a data scientist. If you're a developer and you've got coding skills, maybe you're going to be a data engineer and you're going to be using Hadoop and Azure Data Lake and SQL Data Warehouse. You may be a data scientist in the next sessions when Ted and Seth talk about machine learning and R and Python. You may be coming from that side. And then the data analyst is typically, you know, in the business or maybe in IT, somebody that's used to using, you know, business intelligence tools and querying relational databases. And for me, this is to my data snowman, basically you have this scenario of you've got, you know, data engineers, data scientists, data analysts, business users. Everybody has to learn something, right? If you're a data engineer, you're a really good developer, go learn something about machine learning because it's super valuable for your career and for your company. The people that are the advanced analytics pros as well, they got to come learn more about the Hadoop stack and more about Azure Data Lake because that's maybe brand new to them. Your data analyst may be using R and may, you know, be aspiring. Like Ted said, he's an aspiring data scientist, or you may be an aspiring data scientist. Ted, I think, is a data scientist. I see myself as well as an aspiring data scientist. I teach at the University of Washington across all these platforms because it's constantly changing and it just forces me to stay current. And really, you have to aspire to, in my opinion, become as many parts of this snowman or of this Venn diagram as you can. And that's just going to make you, you know, super valuable. And, you know, 20-year career plus for me in the data industry, and I think I got 20 more in me if I need it, I think. But it's just, the space is just that hot. But thank you very much for your time and attention, and hope you will come tomorrow. And please send me emails for the Data Lake and for any problems with the Cortana Lake Quick Start. All right? Thank you so much.